Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago without a live studio audience. I might have to start doing the live studio audience by myself. We shall see. But boy oh boy, there is wonderful reason for the live studio audience not to be here because it's late, because we had an absolutely unbelievable Olami 613 wedding tonight. It's hard to put into words the nachas. Now, many people listening know what the word nachas means. It's like Jewish pride, I think you would most accurately translate it as. Nachas literally comes the word menucha, which is rest or at peace, tranquility, serenity. And boy oh boy, we here at Olami 613, Rabbi Marcus and Rabbi and Shoshana Marcus and Suri, myself, and Kiria Pfeffer work, I would say, pretty tirelessly to reach out to young Jewish people, to try to inspire them to love being Jewish, to know what it means to be Jewish, so that they will, like we like to say, hashtag own it, that they will own their own Judaism, that they will study. They will invest. They will take our spark, our lead, and then really take time to invest, to find out the truly great honor and privilege and merit it is to be Jewish and to be part of the Jewish people. This incredible legacy that spans back 3,800 plus years to Abraham and Sarah, and concretized by receiving the Torah 3,338 years ago and ever since. And what an honor and privilege it is to have spent the most amazing day, or late afternoon and evening, at the wedding, the chasana, as we say in Hebrew, of Tyler Friedman and Maya Goldenberg. Two shining lights in the Jewish people. Two people who, what can I say, they saw through the emptiness of the secular world. Both are incredibly deep thinkers, deep feelers, and they're incredibly just alive in every sense of the word. And the secular world just did not supply for them the meaning, the purpose, the depth of which they wanted to live their lives. And independently, they came to Torah observance, and it was just an unbelievable wedding tonight, and the families overflowing with joy, and it was truly an honor and a privilege to be there, to be part of it, and I wanted to share that with you, because there's so much negative news about the Jewish people right now. And I want to share with you that we are going to make it. And the reason I know we're going to make it is because there are young couples like Tyler Friedman and Maya Goldenberg who got married under a kosher chuppah, according to Jewish law, the same law that has governed their ancestors for 3,800 years. And they are going to forge a faithful link in the chain of the Jewish people. And they're going to do it with a smile. They're going to do it with a sparkle. They're going to do it with joy. Anyone who was there tonight felt palpably the joy of this young couple, that Hashem's presence was in the room. You know, students ask all the time, Rabbi, you know, where's God? And there are different answers to that question. But really, God's right here. God was right there in that room tonight. God was right there in that room tonight, smiling, smiling. Each one has their own story about how miraculous it was that they got to stand at that chuppah. So I wanted to share that with you. our Monday Motivation listeners, our Olami 613 community, that we are building something special because of you, because of your support, your emotional support, your financial support, your listening week in and week out. It means the world to me. And you know what? It means the world to Hashem Almighty, to God Almighty. So thank you so much. And so I decided that tonight would be the perfect opportunity to speak about the King. Now, the King has two applications, two implementations right now. One is that it was in this last week's Torah portion, Parshas Shoftim, that we just finished, talking about the mitzvah, the commandment of the Jewish people to appoint a king. And how appropriate was it that we had such a powerful Jewish wedding? Because why? Because the bride and groom are Dome la Malka and la Melech. The groom is likened to a Melech, to a king, and the bride is likened to a queen. The question is why? So here's what we're going to do. We are going to analyze some of the absolutely fascinating laws of a Jewish king. And then we're going to loop around and we're going to connect it to the groom and the bride. Okay? Sound good? Is that a plan? All right, fasten your seatbelts. And then obviously we're going to end up making this relevant for us, for our lives, and to launch us into an amazing week. So buckle up. Here we go. So in this last week's Torah portion, Parsha Shoftim, in chapter 17 of the book of Deuteronomy, we say Dvarim in Hebrew. It starts with the verses in chapter 17, verse 14. And the Torah, and I'm not going to read everything, but I'm just going to give a little perusal of some of the descriptions over here. So when you come to the land that Hashem gives you, okay, that's the land of Israel, you're going to say, I want to put a king over ourselves, just like all the nations around us. Now, that was actually a little bit of a foreshadowing of a criticism of the Jewish people, that really the reason why they should want the king is not because the other nations have kings. It's because the king, as we're going to see, is going to be the representative of Hashem and the enforcer, quote unquote, of what Hashem wants of the Jewish people. So there's a little bit of a foreshadowing, because in the book of Samuel, when the Jewish people did request a king, they did it for the incorrect reason. They should have said, we want a king because we want him to establish the Jewish people on the correct footing. But instead, they said, we want a king like all the other nations. Nevertheless, and so the Torah then talks about some of the qualifications, has to be born Jewish, and as well as now, when you have this Jewish king, he can't have too many horses or Teslas. Okay, horses, horsepower. He cannot have too many wives that will turn his heart astray. And he can't amass too much money, because that also will cause him to stray. So already we see an unbelievable thing. We have quality control. We have checks in place that the Jewish king is not going to become a despot, a dictator that is going to lord over the people with his own whims, because we're going to limit his power in the sense that it can't be about him. How many politicians say today, oh, it's about you, the voters, and it's not, hasn't have anything to do with the voters. It's all about them and their own power. This lesson in the Torah of the king tells us how our politics should be run. It's about a king who is not about self-aggrandizement, but about fulfilling the word of Hashem. And in addition to that, this king, as we go on in the verses, has to have two Torahs, one that he keeps in his home and one that he literally wears on his arm. It's like a mini Torah. It's like a bit of a badge, right? Okay. It's literally a mini Torah scroll that he's got to wear on his arm all the time so that he doesn't become haughty, doesn't become egotistical. And he will also have Jewish law on his mind so he will not stray to the right or to the left. And that, folks, as the basic summary, obviously tremendous amount of details that go into that. But that is the idea of a Jewish king. Now, who was the paradigm of the Jewish king? He was David, King David, David HaMelech. David HaMelech is very interesting. Now, stay with me for a second here. King David is mentioned in our prayer book. Well, his Psalms, we say all the time, every day, and on Shabbos for our prayers. But there's a certain place in the prayer book itself where we mention King David. And that is when we do Kiddush Levana. Now, everyone's heard of Kiddush, which is the blessing over the wine on Shabbos. But there's something called Kiddush, which means sanctification of Levana, of the moon. And after the first of the month, that a few days after, that first Saturday night after Shabbos, we quote-unquote sanctify the moon. We recognize that God is control of nature, and God put the Jewish people above time, above nature. That's why we're a timeless people. That's why all the anti-Semites who try to wipe us out will never be able to do it, because we are an eternal people. And we give a little wink and nod on those Saturday nights, sanctifying the moon of time, that we are timeless. We are God's people. The moon waxes and wanes. It gets larger and smaller, but the Jewish people will always come back. And in those passages, we talk about King David. And the question is, why? What is the connection of King David and the moon? And so we have to go a drop into some Kabbalistic thinking, of which I'm not an expert, but I can share the wisdom that was passed to me by my rabbis. And this is a very powerful idea. There are seven spheros. These are seven different ways that God's energy is flowed from the upper realm to the world. Okay? Already beyond my pay grade. But nevertheless, the seventh one is called Malchus. Malchus is kingship. And that is what King David represents, kingship. The kingship, the Kabbalists write, is associated with the moon. Why? Because what does the moon do? The moon has no light of its own. The moon's job is to reflect the light of the sun. And in fact, one of the great miracles of quote-unquote nature, I love when scientists talk about Mother Nature. You can insert God then. But I love it. What just so happened that the moon has special glass crystals on its surface of some kind that when the sun's light shines on the moon, it reflects off to Earth. Wow, lucky do. I wonder how it got there. The Almighty made the moon with special reflective dust sand, so that it would reflect his light on to the world. That's how we see the moon. The moon has none of its own light. It is reflecting a brighter light. And that is the symbol of what a king is supposed to do in the Jewish people. He's not shining his own light. He is not doing what he wants to do. He's reflecting the will of the Almighty in this analogy, who's symbolized by the sun shining his light onto the Jewish king, which is associated with the moon. And then the king then reflects that divine light onto the people. That is what the role and job of a Jewish king is. And that is the role and job of any Jewish leader today, is that we absorb God's light, his will, his desire, and we reflect it on the world, on others around us. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, getting back to our groom and bride, that the Chasan Domeh LeMelech, The groom is similar to the king. Why? Because there's one night, one event, where we realize the rabbinic statement, Kol ha'olam nivra bishvili. The whole world is created for me. It's a very powerful statement. It means that the world is worth existing if only for me. And the question is, when we inculcate that, how are we going to deal with that information? Are we going to use it for our own ego? Are we going to hoard that? Or are we going to share it with others? Are we going to reflect our divine importance and shine goodness on others? Or are we going to take Hashem's goodness and only keep it to ourselves for self-aggrandizement? And that is the challenge of every bride and groom, that the groom has the opportunity to be like the king and the bride like the queen. And it's a lesson for them for the rest of their marriage and the rest of their lives. Are they going to take Hashem's flow of goodness, of bounty, of blessing, of wisdom, of light, and keep it for themselves and not reflect it? Or are they going to take all of those wonderful gifts that Hashem gives them and reflect it on their loved ones and on people all around them the rest of their days? And that is the power of what a real groom and bride can be. And it launches them on their career for the rest of their lives to be a Jewish king and a Jewish queen. That they will be like the moon. They will take Hashem's light, Hashem's goodness, Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's guidance, and reflect it out to the world. Folks, I cannot think of two more beautiful and amazing people than Tyler and Maya to do this job. But folks, it's not too late. For those of you who are already married, maybe for many years, the job is an ongoing one and can be started, continued, and ramped up at any moment. That is the job, not only in marriage, especially in marriage, to reflect God's goodness on your spouse, but upon anyone and everyone in our surroundings. And even, believe it or not, especially maybe for those people who are not yet married, listening, that is our individual job. And the more that we lean into this, of plugging into what Hashem Almighty wants from us. And what does it mean to receive Hashem's light? It means that we need to know His Torah. We need to learn it. We need to dig in to what does it mean to be a Jew? And then we can start being that beautiful conduit, that reflector of God's light to everyone around us. You know, I'll finish with a little vignette that happened at the wedding tonight. I was speaking with two friends of Tyler. I'll give him a shout out, Sam and Alex Gross. Great, great guys. Very much enjoyed meeting them. And we were talking about the anti-Semitism that's going on today, and it's crazy. And I told them, and I think it's so true. I say, you know what? It is crazy and it's inexplicable in many ways. But they're onto something. They know that we're relevant. The non-Jews who do not cease, they're constant in their barrage against us, against us, against Israel, everywhere around the world. It's because they know that we stand for something. They know that we are significant. If we didn't represent godliness, if we were not the moons that are reflecting God's light, no one would care about us. It's the fact that we have an eternal mission drives the nations of the world crazy. And that is a source of pride. And that is a source of our greatness. So God willing, we will take inspiration from our wonderful bride and groom, Maya and Tyler. And we, God willing, we'll lean in to what Hashem is shining on us and reflect it to those around us and to the whole world. Let's shine our Jewish light on the world this week. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.